I'm Eric Heiden.
I'm Nick Mason.
And this is Neon Static. Yo, Nick. Hey.
Yeah.
We do a podcast, you remember?
Do we?
Yeah, it's been told that we once podcasted.
Huh. I think I remember it. Meek and Foreman or something like that, right?
No, wrong one.
No, wait. Ah, dang.
Welcome to episode 13 of Neon Static, everybody. We're here.
Yes.
We're all together.
Yep. A podcast that we do regularly.
Extremely regularly. Well, okay. So, you know, we started out this, we did the podcast thing, and I got real excited about video stuff and made a whole studio, and you and I have been doing a lot of live streams, which, if you're not aware, we have a YouTube channel. Go check it out. The live streams are kind of the event of my fortnight. Every fortnight. I really look forward to them, and they're a lot of fun, and we do them on Monday night, so yeah.
Check them out.
Check them out.
It's good times.
Also, a lot of edited videos. We just uploaded one today of G&K that's 4 months old. So that's keeping us busy.
Yeah, we've only got, what, three more tournaments? So by this time next year, should be good to go?
Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of learned how to do all the editing thing and put together a ton of graphics for this right after I filmed that. So there was a buffer period, and now I'm catching up with speed. Anyway, that's what we've been busy with. It's been fun, but here we are. We're going to talk about stuff because something happened and there's a discussion topic. We're going to make this short, sweet, and there will be no editing. I'm not going to cut once in this MF-er.
Whoa, you can tell that he's not going to edit because he's not swearing. He's going out of his way not to. Don't want to drop any coins in that jar.
No, yes. We have enough saved up for our vacations and
yeah, exactly,
house repairs and whatever other things that you save for in a jar.
Yeah.
shall we, let's move things along, huh?
Let's do it.
I gotta find the button. Oh, I found the button. Okay, so let's move along to 24/7 news cycle, huh? Oh wait, no, you do it. We're not editing this.
So let's I just thought of this. Why don't we move along to a 24/7 news cycle?
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that.
Yeah.
The music responds to your voice, so that's important to remember.
Well, sure, but I can't hear the music. Oh. So, you know, the no edit thing is just being real stressed. Anyway, so Startup has a band list now, which is exciting.
It is exciting for Startup. It's a funny band list because it's basically going to be like 2 months long.
Yes.
That it's in effect for.
Yeah.
But it's kind of overdue, and I think it was sort of obvious, at least. Like these two cards that got banned, Endurance and Drago, both got banned in Startup. It was like, yeah, we've known for like 8 months that those should have been banned.
Right. Yeah. The only one that didn't, that makes me question, is Keeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's missing Keeling, and that's why I'm not going to play any Startup.
Yeah, it is still a legal card in Startup, and that's not the best, but... You know, it'll be rotating soon anyway, so.
I don't know if Keeling is as horrifically oppressive and terrible feeling as it was in Standard.
Definitely not. I mean, there's not no border ag controls and, yeah, ag infusion and all that other stuff, but.
But at the same time, you now don't have Endurance, right? You have fewer ways to, like, go get it than you do in Startup.
Right.
And the money to generate to keep trashing it. This is a bad card. I don't like that card. This is my salty side coming out. Keeling should not have existed. Super Deep Borehole, though, is much more fun.
Speaking of which, January 22nd.
Yeah, I got a deck for that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But what format is that deck in?
That deck is in the Standard format.
Oh, I thought it was Sunset.
I thought I was
Segway. Oh, good. Excellent.
Technically, it's both.
That is true.
Sunset is a subset of Standard. Yeah. So the other thing we wanted to talk about here on the news cycle was the Sunset format, which is sort of like an open playtest standard. An experimental ban list that NSG put out there and said, hey, everybody, try this ban list out. Should we run down it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do corp side, you do runner.
Sounds good.
All right. So on the corp side, you've got attitude adjustment, which was a card to fix agenda flood. Bologna, which was insane. Drudge Work, which is another card to fix agenda flood. Rashida Yahim, which is insane. Reality Plus, which is insane. And NGO Front, which is just a staple. I feel like it. Not as much as Rashida, probably, but a very common card to put into a lot of decks. Any deck where you're going to leave something advanced on the board, NGO Front fits right into.
Right. Yeah. Anytime you have ice, you want to drag people through.
Yep.
That card shines because you go, well, you better check it. Oops. It's money.
Exactly.
And like attitude adjustment and Drudge Work are both cards that were sort of intended to fix agenda flood, I believe. But in reality, those cards only show up in decks where you're not trying to fix agenda flood. You're trying to literally never, ever see an agenda. Like keep putting the agendas back in R&D, make it impossible to find them and do something miserable in the meantime.
Yeah. Combo decks, kill decks, things like that tend to run those cards just because it allows you to get rid of the dead cards in your deck, which are your agendas.
Right. Usually featuring six 5/3s.
Yeah. And out of a 40 card deck. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Which just makes it kind of like miserable to go find them. So I like those bans. Those seem good. Bologna, most busted card in the NBN card pool.
And Rashida is like the card that I honestly think is kind of the center of the whole Sunset format. Like Rashida getting banned is such a big part of this because it shapes so much of the flow of the individual game, the deck building, the way that the runner has to build their deck to be able to break into early servers to stop Rashida from just taking over the game with all of the card draw and tempo that it offers. Like it's such an important card that it's like kind of the cornerstone of the format. And I thought about this before, like they'd done near prints on a bunch of cards that had rotated, you know, you got Oppo Research for Hard Hitting News and things like that. And Rashida is just this card that, like, I don't know how you near print it in a way that still does what Rashida does. And
you
turns
could maybe
out,
do like you may draw one card and gain more credit, you know, draw two cards and gain four credit. Like that is a game that they could do,
right?
But change some numbers on it, but
yeah, yeah,
the whole concept of like a card you want to just protect for a single turn, accelerate the whole game. There's definitely options. NSG is creative enough that they can come up with something, but I wonder if they will, because format, you know,
the whole thought here is that just, you know what, let's not replace it and change up the whole game, change the whole tempo of how corps get set up, what their early turns look like, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So on the runner side, we've lost some cards to keep the runner then in line with the corp now that they've lost a bunch of power. And those cards are Boomerang, Cleaver, Daily Casts. I'm going to say that again. Daily Cast got banned in this format. So they're experimenting with what if we don't have Daily Cast. Dirty Laundry. That is a 1-2 gut punch, those two cards going missing.
Yeah.
Paladin Poemo, good riddance. Self-Modifying Code, also gutted. And then Bonhar.
Yes. Probably my favorite of the NSG cards, Bonhar.
I really just, love Bonhar.
I love a Bonhar. Just face planting through ice.
Yeah. This is a lot of stuff to lose on the runner side, especially the 1-2 combo of Daily Cast, Dirty Laundry. And I think the intent is to get rid of some neutral economy and see what happens when you try and make runners mostly depend on economy that's in faction or have to spend influence on it to port it.
Yeah, that worries me.
Yeah, I've played like one or two games with a Xayah deck that is, you know, it lost three daily casts, and Xayah very much wants to always be running and getting in and accessing, but when you get locked out, you need something to get you back on your feet, and there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
You have to import it from some other, like, well, I'm sorry, there's a lot, but it's all in Anarch.
You've got fermenters and liberated accounts and things like that, but yeah, no, your penny shaver, your Xayah's ability itself, bravado. There's just so much stuff in a lot of the other factions that you need to run for, and there's not as many good ways to just straight up rebuild, especially in a way that still lets you drive forward that turn. Like you can creative commission, but that's not going to help you this turn, and you've probably got other clicks to spend.
I guess there's like Carpe Diem that I hadn't thought about pulling in, but into this deck, replacing the daily cast with Carpe Diem, because it is money that you will get, but
that's still so much, it's so much less. It's difficult because this problem that you've identified is exactly what I'm worried about with a move to more faction specific econ, where you're either going to have cards that are like so close to each other that they might as well not be different, at which point, why are you taking up space in design with, you know, a card that is like minus one cost but plus one of something else? You know, like it does sure gamble in a slightly crim way or a slightly anarch way. Or you're going to end up with one faction having clearly the best economic suite out of anyone, and the floor for where your economy is has now been lowered so much by the loss of all these staple cards like Daily Cast and Dirty Laundry that the other factions just can't catch up.
Yeah, that's possible. Hopefully they're, you know, different levels of economic ability, but not one clearly way better, you know. Hopefully they're
right.
Even if there is one objectively best, it's close in power level to the rest. And yeah, I don't know. Anarch. Oof. This is probably going to be our most negative podcast to date. I think that there's some issues there. I've tried just a couple of games that I've tried playing in the Sunset format, and the runner definitely feels a lot more. They have an uphill battle.
Right.
And it might just be a difference in power levels. And I, you know, haven't played a ton of Corp now without Rashida, but it feels weird having to rein back in your tempo and all your money and go slower. But
yep.
Anyway, that's Sunset.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I have not yet played a game in Sunset, but every time I try to brew a runner deck in Sunset, I feel terrible. So
yeah, I put
it just feels like playing with handcuffs.
I put red teams into this deck with Xayah, and that was truly awful.
Yeah,
I don't like how expensive that card. Like five, and then you get 12, but you can only take three a turn.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take nine a turn, I guess, if you can get into all the central servers, but it's not easy.
No.
And it's not guaranteed drip like Daily Cast was.
Right. Yeah, you've still got to get in.
Okay. Well, let's move along to the main event. That's Into the Depths. All right, so into the depths this episode, we're going to talk about competitive Netrunner and non-competitive Netrunner and why we play and all these things.
Yeah.
This was kind of brought on because I got an invite to the CBI Circuit Breaker Invitational, kind of randomly lucky at a startup event I happened to win at our local game store that we hosted. And so I got an invite and I don't know, I did it. And it was,
You didn't love your experience.
Yeah, I didn't finish it feeling great.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason for that is that I'm not used to, of a couple things. I've never played a long competitive event online. And I really did not like that. I didn't like playing online.
Yeah.
Because, mostly because of the total loss of social aspect to the event for me.
Yep.
Did not.
Yeah.
Did
no, no talking between, no, hey, look at this cool thing. Oh, I just did this really sick thing. Did you see that? None of that. It's just, yeah, it's just you sitting at a desk clicking away.
Yeah. That's it. It felt pretty disconnected. I would like hop into Discord in a private little channel and give an update on like how the round went to Nick and Derek and a couple other people in our local meta. And, you know, they weren't necessarily like waiting for me the whole time. So they would pop in and say something occasionally. And I'm sure my tone changed between games that I lost and games that I won. Cause I didn't lose every game. My record was 3-5. So I did win 3 games.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah.
I guess the question is, what could you have done to make you have more fun? Because, I mean, the circuit breakers are like a weird, for us anyway, they feel weird because it's not in person, right? It's long. I mean, you just said you played 8 games.
Started at 5 p.m. and I finished up at like 12:30 at night.
Yeah. That's a lot of, it's a lot of Netrunner, and it's a lot to be playing like in a way where you can't just step away
so
easily.
I should give some context. I did not expect to do terribly well because I don't consider myself as strong a player as the vast majority of the people that I saw on this list. Or, you know, these are the people who won all of the tournaments around the world, you know, the small metas. So it's even maybe some sharks that couldn't necessarily come out to worlds. I think maybe that the skill level for this event, because it was internet accessible and widespread, just the best players from everywhere, or the people who won events everywhere, that it might have even been like higher skilled than worlds. It's possible. That might be blasphemy, but obviously like the best worlds players were there.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean the world champion and yeah.
So I didn't expect to do well, but I knew I needed to have some kind of a goal, or I thought I did. And so one of the prizes on the list, you got a participation prize, some foil end of the lines, which is pretty cool. And I'll be getting those in the mail at some point. But the top half of players got foil unities. And I was like, okay, well, I don't think I'll do it, but I'll make it a goal to try and get some unities. That'll be the thing that I'm shooting for. And if I achieve it, that'll be cool. And I don't usually operate with a goal. And I assumed that was for the worse, that it was like, because I don't have a goal, I don't have anything to shoot for, and maybe I should try it out and see if it's good. And in the first, let's see, I don't know if it was exactly the first 4 games. I think by the 4th game, I was 2-2.
Yep.
It was either the fourth, I think it was the 5th game I might have won. So I ended up with being on 3-2. And it was either 3-2 or 3-3. I can't remember exactly when I hit that. The last 3 games, I was like, okay, I have 3 left. I just need one more win. I can do this. I can like actually make the top half of CBI and get this prize. That would be so cool. And then I stayed up for the next 3 games and like kind of ruined my sleep and it didn't happen. And I just kept getting close. Well, I got run over a couple times, but I got close a couple times. And when it finished, I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why did I do this over a couple pieces of cardboard? Like, this is so stupid. It felt dumb. I don't know. And I've never felt that way. Even when I come in last place at a CO, a local CO, I've never felt like that.
Yeah.
It felt like a waste of time.
Well, I've only really tryharded like that for one tournament ever. And like, it was to the point where I was playing like, you know, two or three games a day minimum. And, you know, I had locked in.
Oh, this was for L5R, right?
Yeah, this was for L5R. I really wanted to be a Hatamoto, which is the top of a particular faction. So I just found this deck that I liked that was like a homebrew, built it myself, and I just ground out games, a million games of that exact deck list. So this is one of the things that I thought of, you know, as like the biggest thing, like when new cards came out that I thought would be really good in my deck, I did not change the deck list because I knew that deck list so well, and I wasn't going to make the little tweaks that I thought I would need to make to include these new cards. I just said, nope, I've got the cards. I've got my, you know, 85 cards or whatever it was. And I'm sticking with it. And on the morning of, you changed your corp deck.
Oh, there's two notable differences there. One is that I played maybe 7 or 8 games in total of preparation for this.
Yes.
So I didn't prepare. And that's one of the reasons, and I knew I could sort of lean on that as an excuse for why I didn't do well. So, but you know, it's kind of...
If you're going to set a goal, right? Like, I don't know.
I should have tried harder. It felt like I didn't feel like I could actually commit to trying hard and spending the time on it. I mean, first of all, my time is pretty constrained. You know, I've got 2 kids, I've got a job, a wife and a house, and this podcast and the live stream and stuff. So it definitely is not, I don't have a ton of time to jam games every night. And if I did, if all that went away, I'm still not even sure if I would have necessarily, because, and if I do that and I lose, then I just lost because I'm not good enough instead of going, well, I lost because I'm underprepared. So maybe that's just a shield that I have to protect myself from saying I'm not very good. It's just, no, I just don't have the time to play like all these other people. They're only good because they can play a lot and they have fewer responsibilities or something. I don't know.
I don't know. My approach to it, I guess, would just be the opposite, where like, you know what, if I'm going to be sitting down for 8 hours, taking 8 hours out of my day and all this, like, you know, I can afford to spend an hour or, you know, a couple of hours a week in prep for it when I know 6 months in advance that I'm going to be doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just, and like pick a deck early. Like you had a pretty successful, I thought, NBN R plus deck that you'd been playing. And then the morning of, you decided, and I think this was possibly a correct meta call just based on the number of like lose in the meta, that this asset spam deck was going to get eaten alive by Lou and you needed a swap, right?
Right. Yeah. The New Year's Eve, like online CO happened and there was tons of Lou and it was like, oh, I'm screwed if I play this because Lou is literally just going to laugh at me while they imp all of my traps and agendas and keep Oppo little the entire game and I'm just going to get crushed and it'll feel bad. So right. I decided to switch to a combo kill, like, what is it called? What's the Ajoupstad grid, Asmari?
Re-education.
Re-education deck. And I killed no one all night with it. The only game I won with that deck was one where I had to score out. I scored to 9 points because it just wasn't happening. Almost every game, like the combo pieces that I need, like the re-educations were on the bottom of the deck or whatever. It was just struggling to find the cards. And I don't know. That didn't feel great. The runner felt pretty good. I played the Zaya deck. This was a slightly worse, due to my own change, version of White Blade's Rongi Doge Cured My Depression Zaya, which was a great deck. And then I got nervous about Rig Shooter, and I put an Amakua in instead of something. I forget what I... Oh, a Wake Implant. I took a Wake Implant out.
Yeah.
I think I made it strictly worse. But I still had a great time with that deck, and Zaya's the best. But yeah, the corp didn't feel great.
But my point would be, I think you would have handled you would have handled your bad matchups with the NBN deck, or the Reality Plus deck rather, better than I think you would have handled it in, you know, a bad matchup with this combo deck that you've never played before.
You're right.
Where you might not even know what the bad matchups are. Like, yeah, you know going in that like Alu is going to be a really hard matchup for you. But because of that, you know some of the things that you need to do, right? You can't just build a billion remotes.
Small servers, yeah.
Yeah, and not do anything to defend them. If you want to have those assets that are sitting out there that are doing a little bit extra for you, they're going to need to be behind some taxing ice, yeah. You know?
I didn't see a single loot the entire event, so...
No, that's like, the other thing about meta calls is that, yeah, I mean, the odds are you'll see more lose, but, you know.
And there was a bunch in the event, but they were near the top, doing well, winning games away from me. So not to mention that, that's not to say that the people I played against weren't good players. They were all very good Netrunner players. Nobody was a slouch. Nobody just like gave me a win. Although at the very end of the last round, I did ask, I was like, it's the last round, got to ask, do you want to concede? In which case I would love those unities. And my opponents were like, I guess we're playing a game then.
Yep.
Sorry.
But yeah, but, I don't think there's much of a substitute for knowing the deck. And like, I also will find that I have more fun then, because like, I know the weird tricks that I can do. I know it is easier for me to play against the opponent when I know my own deck backwards and forwards. And I'm not trying to play my own deck in like an actively thinking way.
Right. Yeah, I was curious. I thought maybe this discussion was going to be more on the lines of like, I don't know. Maybe it's okay. First of all, maybe it is just totally fine if I want to keep playing Netrunner on a pretty casual level. I do feel a pull, and I like participating in the bigger events, and I have found that I don't like doing poorly in them.
Yeah.
And in this, you know, I came in 63rd out of 104 or 107 players. I can't remember exactly. And I feel fine about that in the end. It was mostly like, I don't know, I think the length of the event, the kind of ruining sleep a little bit. It was a sleepover night for my girls that night. So I was like sort of hearing them have fun, and it was pretty cute, but I was missing out on a lot of it. And I was like, oh, why am I doing this for a card game?
Yeah.
So that maybe playing into the whole thing, but I do love me some in-person Netrunner. And I think that a big part of it for me is definitely missing out on the social time. Cause even if I do terribly, I'm hanging out with friends. I really love the in-person stuff. So if you haven't been to an in-person Netrunner and your only exposure is an online tournament, I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's really quite good.
It's the best in person. It's the best way to play, bar none, hands down.
Yeah.
It's great.
I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on competitive Netrunner? Like, what about you? Are you, you don't grind games for this.
By no, any means. I haven't. A part of me wants to at some point. I still don't entirely, I don't feel like I have a good grasp on runner play. And I'd like to get better at that in terms of like identifying when I'm ahead, finding the agendas, you know, not just doing the cool kick flips that I can do that I know that are cool with this deck, but actually setting up a game plan and figuring out, you know, knowing what cards I want to draw, that kind of stuff.
Right. Working on the fundamentals.
Yeah.
I got to say, I prepared for Runner a lot more. Even just, you know, our streaming games and all the games that I played on are random Wednesdays. I tried to play more Runner because I wanted to work on that. I knew it was a weakness, kind of what you were just saying. And in the end, I felt a lot better on the Runner side. I have a great replay that I think I might want to do some commentary from the event, or just a nail biter of a game that came down to the wire. That's really good. But then when I played Corp, yeah, like you said, I switched decks, but I did feel underprepared on Corp as far as fundamentals. So that was the thing. I don't know. At the next big tournament leading up to it, maybe I do settle into a deck a little bit earlier, something less combo, flashy, and new meta, and more just these are known good cards, and see how that feels, and take your advice here, and just play something known that is going to do well. Yeah, like I've never played a Hoshiko deck at a tournament, and I know how powerful Hosh is. I've experienced it and gone, man, I should do this. This feels good.
Yeah.
And then I always go, do I want to be another, like, you know, the 14th Hoshiko player? And maybe, yeah. Maybe it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, good cards are played because they are good.
Yeah, it feels good to do well.
Yes.
If I won with Hosh, I'd feel really good.
Right.
You know, I don't care.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's, at the same time, I get it. There are certain lines I never crossed. I never sleeved up a Scorpion deck. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it is on par with that. If for you old L5R players out there, you know what we're talking about. The Scorpion players were dedicated Scorpion players, but it was like, yeah, you guys have it easy.
Exactly. Yeah. When you play the game in easy mode, yes, the game is significantly easier. It's a completely different game, in fact, because everybody else is over here playing L5R and Scorpion players are over here playing a completely different game.
Well, so like, there it is. Maybe that's this. Is that the thing you're hiding behind when you're playing L5R? That, like, what if you just played Scorpion and then what if you lost?
Well, no. So I,
you know,
Yeah, that's a possibility that I could have just still lost with Scorpion, I guess. It just,
we should say that Nick did get that Hatamoto title. He did win that event.
That is
you
true.
You never finished the story.
That is true. It took me to the third decimal place of the strength of schedule, but I did beat out the other person tied for the same record.
Hey, man, horseshoes and hand grenades, you did it. There is binary, yes or no.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I get that at the same time, like, if you're not gonna play the most powerful thing, then you just need to play something that you feel powerful with. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
I've gone into tournaments where I know I'm not bringing the most meta deck, the most up to date deck, but it's the deck I feel comfortable with. It's the play style I feel comfortable with, and I'm gonna play that rather than try to chase the best thing that is not the best that I am, you know, the one best suited to how I play.
Okay. Well, our next local tournament, we just missed one yesterday, actually, down in Boston, which would have been a blast to go to, but I was, you know, having a family and doing the family thing instead. So
and I
guess I made up for a little bit of the CVI. Huh?
Still testing positive for COVID at that point. So,
yeah, you were right. Yeah, you couldn't.
Yeah.
And so our next one is in March 16th. If you're in the New Hampshire area, Southern New Hampshire, check out Always Be Running for the New Hampshire Netrunners.
Yes.
I'll put a link in the show notes even.
There we go.
But I can prepare for that, sort of. You know, we don't have we probably will have new cards before then, I think.
I was going to say Liberations Part 2 should be out by then.
But it doesn't mean that I can't work on something fundamental.
Right.
So I might settle into something and do a little work and see how it goes. Maybe make a little goal and try and play at least two or three games online at night or something, just to get some more experience, but that's it. I don't know. That's our little therapy session we had. Thanks for talking with me about my emotions.
Yeah.
About a child's card game, you know.
This is not a child's card game. Let's be honest. Okay.
That's true. It's definitely
I don't know too many 16-year-olds or young
in general
who are out there playing Netrunner, but also in general. Actually, I don't know. Do I know any people who happen to be 16 at the moment?
I don't think you do, Nick.
God, I'm old.
Yeah, me too, buddy. all right. Well, I think that's going to be a wrap for episode 13 of Neon Static. We've been your hosts, Eric.
And Nick.
And if you want to get in touch with us about anything we've said during this podcast, we can be reached by email at neonstaticpod@gmail.com. We're also Neon Static Pod on Instagram and Mastodon, although I can't say I've checked it very often. We're no longer on Twitter because F that place.
Yeah.
Our handles on Discord are Canister and Gullbrander and Johnny's Triforce Legend. Poke him back into playing the game. A link in the New Hampshire Netrunner Discord will be in the show notes, where you can always find us. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch videos and live streams. Link in the show notes again. And if you enjoy the content we create, please consider supporting us on patreon.com/neonstatic. And Nick, this is part you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I hadn't scrolled down enough. No edits. Thanks for listening.
And remember, always run with your eyes closed, because what you can't see can't hurt you. Can't hurt you. It can't hurt you. Oh, yeah. Outro music. Well, that'll come in late. But we did it. No edits, buddy.
No edits.